Madeline Hansen with a program that's on and off the record. Tonight's guest is one of the most talented and prolific arrangers in the music business. His name is Ruby Raxin, but before we introduce him, I'd like to give you a brief lineup on some of the important facts about Ruby's background. He's been arranging since he was 13 years old, and he's arranged for many well-known bands and vocalists, including Kate Smith, Bobby Burns, Jan Savitt, much of the music heard on the Musart Company, many radio programs, including the Westinghouse program, the Ford program, the Borden program, and the Bill Goodwin Show. During the last recording band rush, Ruby was working night and day. In fact, if you'd wander into Coffee Dan's almost any hour of the night, you'd probably see Ruby sitting over in the corner there, propping his eyes open with a couple of toothpicks and trying to get out a last-minute arrangement or something. Ruby, it was very fine of you to come down here this evening, and I think if you have some minutes, I'd like to check with you, and I'm sure the audience would like to hear some of your thoughts regarding the importance and the development of the arranging. Of the Arrangers Society and Arranging. I wonder if you could tell me something about your position with the Arranging Society.
Well, Adeline, I'm a member of the executive board of the Arrangers Society, and I'm sort of on the radio committee, too. And, we're an organization of arrangers. Practically all the big arrangers in the country are members.
Uh-huh.
And, we're trying to promote a little bit publicity for the arrangers, as well as get together and discuss our ideas. We're trying to let the public know who an arranger is and what he does.
In other words, you're trying to call attention to the importance of the arranger to the modern dance band and to modern music. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. But another point is that a lot of people who listen to music don't have any idea who an arranger is. And until recently, very few people even knew who the arranger was at all.
In other words, when you buy a record in the store, they very seldom list the arranger on the record label. Isn't that true?
Well, I don't remember any time at all when they did list the arranger.
Well, you know, I've always wondered how the arranger arrived at his present position of importance. I wonder if you could tell me something about that development.
Well, you see, arranging is a relatively new business in the music business. It seems that in the olden days, most composers just wrote their music and developed it and sort of puttered around with it and arranged it and orchestrated it as they did, their own music.
Mm-hmm.
And then when popular music came to the foreground, as it is today, the popular songs are pretty incomplete. They're just piano song copies of a song and a set of lyrics added on. And it needed somebody to develop it. Reharmonize it if necessary, orchestrate it, that is, put the individual notes into the orchestra, assign it to the different instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And the orchestrators are arrangers, were the orchestrators, and also they did developing. They did certain composition, like writing introductions and endings and transition between choruses and writing new backgrounds and new counter melodies. They sort of compose.
I hadn't realized how complicated it was. I think one gets so used to listening to a recording or a band and simply assuming that either the band leader or perhaps one of the men in the orchestra just knocked it out in a hurry and that the composition was the important thing, whereas in reality I imagine that a composition can take all kinds of tones and tonal colors and assume a very different composition by the time a very clever arranger has taken it in hand. Isn't that true?
Well, yes. You see, an arranger visualizes what it's going to sound like when he writes it on paper. He has a very good idea, and he dreams up ideas, backgrounds, and new effects. And if it's a song like A Foggy Day in London Town, he sort of makes it foggy.
And that's the whole, gives it coloring and background
sure.
And authenticity. Well, Ruby, In these arrangers whom you admire, how about naming a few of them that sort of personify to you the best arrangements in the field?
Well, I'm a little partial to the sort of symphonic handling of arranging. I do write a little jazz myself, but I like to write the Morton Gouldish type of thing, and I say Morton Gould. He's one of my favorites. But out here in Hollywood, we have a very, very wonderful bunch of arrangers. They're great artists and very well-studied musicians and composers in their own right. And amongst them, I might list Herbie Spencer, Eddie Powell, Maurice LePack, and Connie Salinger, and Ray Heindorf, Carl Huxley, Joe Glover, Russell Bennett, and Jeff Alexander, Lynn Murray. I could go on for a long time.
Well, that's very interesting because I imagine that very few people listening in are really familiar with those names. I think I've seen Lynn Murray's name on a few records, and I'm sure I've heard of Jeff Alexander, but many of those names are strictly men behind the throne. I was wondering, do you think that we could play a recording of one of the group that you mentioned, and would it be a typical arrangement, a typical Raxon favorite, would you say?
Well, one of my favorites is a record in the Alfred Newman album, Long Ago and Far Away, and it has no naturally labeled credit, but the arrangement was made by Herbie Spencer, who was out at Fox Studios.
I'd like to hear it, and let's play it for all the people listening in. This is Herb Spencer's arrangement of Long Ago and Far Away. Jerome Kern's composition, Long Ago and Far Away, played by Alfred Newman's orchestra and arranged by Herb Spencer. And now it's back to our guest, Ruby Raxon. Ruby, that was a beautiful arrangement, but I was wondering if you could tell me some of the outstanding characteristics, in your opinion, something that makes it the beautiful arrangement that it is.
Well, technically it's handled like a real composition, like someone was writing a symphonic composition. It has all the necessary technical qualities. It has a long line, the theme by Jerome Kern, which is very wonderful. He makes good use of Mr. Kern's very fine harmony. And he uses all the necessary technical devices, which are so necessary, I should say, in real symphonic composition.
I wonder if you could go into a little more detail on that. That isn't too clear to
well,
me.
Well, it gets very technical about this point.
Uh-huh. Perhaps I shouldn't have asked that.
Well, I'll make a very simple thing. We have a couple of devices of playing bits of the melody against bits of the melody together at the same time, and playing bits of the melody at great length, slower than they ordinarily are, against the melody, playing the melody upside down, and using it for harmonic devices or for counterpuntal devices, accompanying the melody with itself.
I am sorry I asked that. Well, it sounds very interesting, though complicated.
Well, it's not as complicated as you might seem. It just means that an arranger is a person who studies, just like a composer, and he has a special craft all of his own. And we all love our craft, and we work very hard at it, and it doesn't seem very difficult to us.
You know, as I listen to you talk, you remind me very much of your brother, David Raxton. I had the pleasure of having David up here on a Sunday program I had called Composer's Corner, and some of the things that you say might almost be spoken by David. There was another point I'd like to bring out, that one of the things I don't think enough people are really, perhaps, shall we say, that it isn't emphasized enough to enough people, the fact that today's arranger, perhaps for dance bands, or for want of a better word, jazz arranger, must have a great deal more of a technical background than the arranger of, say, 20 years ago. Too many people, I think, have developed the habit of looking down the ends of their noses on either dance bands or dance band musicians or arrangers. Don't you think that one of the very important functions of your arranging society is to call attention to the background of today's arranger?
Well, we have an education section, which I'm a member in our society. I'm a member of that board also. But today's arranger has a much easier job than the one in the past, because he has wonderful technical books at his hand any time he turns around. For instance, one of our local arrangers, Van Alexander, has written a very wonderful book for beginners in arranging. And he asks the arranger to send in their work to him at the publisher's office. He corrects it and sends it back, and they get first-hand information by one of the really great arrangers of our time.
What a wonderful thing. I didn't know about that. What is the name of his book?
I don't know exactly what the name of his book is. It's published, I believe, by Robbins.
I see. Well, I hope that anyone who is listening and would be interested in getting the book can get out and get it. Is it possible to get it at music stores?
Oh, yes. Almost every music store has it, yes.
What is the function of your educational committee in the Arranging Society?
Well, we have almost every great arranger in the country in the society, and they have great resources of knowledge and experience. And I'm a young fellow in the society. I've been in probably 7 years out of the 10 that the society has been running.
Mm-hmm.
And I often approach a lot of the men. I call it my brother or Moria Pack or Ray Hindorf, and I ask them questions when I come across problems that I can't handle.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, if they heard me do some little trick on the radio, I'm sure they call me up and ask me what I did so that they would know. And we exchange ideas over the telephone or in person.
Pass knowledge and information around.
Uh-huh.
Well, back to the music again, Ruby. Is there any other particularly interesting arranger that you'd like to call to our attention?
Yeah, there's one little point that I'm very, very sore about. It's one of my favorite points. There's an arranger called Jerry Gray.
Uh-huh.
And he's at the present, I think, conducting the Bob Crosby Band on the program. Well, Jerry's a real great jazz arranger. He's as fine as they come. And he made an arrangement for Artie Shaw of a song which was losing popularity called Begin the Begin.
Uh-huh.
And it became popular all again, mostly because of Jerry's arrangement. And, of course, Artie Shaw's playing. Artie did a wonderful job on the record. But Jerry's arrangement is so outstanding, and he took this song that was in a begin rhythm, and he just gave it a big shot in the arm, and people just loved it and bought the records in droves.
I know. Well, it's a very wonderful record, and it's probably known to everyone listening, but I rather imagine that not many people who are listening really were aware of the fact that it was Jerry Gray on the arrangement. So let's refresh their memory, and let's listen to Artie Shaw's recording of Begin the Begin. Thank you. Artie Shaw's Begin the McGee, arranged by Jerry Gray. And here's our guest for this evening, arranger Ruby Raxon. Ruby, you know, so far we've been playing recordings or arrangements by people that are particular favorites of yours. And here's one coming up that happens to be a favorite of mine and also highlights another point that we've talked about earlier. The fact that an arrangement can change the tonal coloring and, in fact, the entire effect of a number. It's another Begin the McGee, but it's arranged by Paul Barron. Are you familiar with much of Paul's work?
Well, I'm not very familiar with much of Paul's work. I don't know about this arrangement. I've heard about it. I don't know whether Paul did it or not. You see, the point I'm trying to bring out here is that arrangers don't get any credit. It's Paul Barron's orchestra. Perhaps Paul did it,
mm-hmm.
or perhaps he didn't. But some poor arranger's been staying up night beating his brains out. And I'd like to see him get credit. That's my position in the society.
Oh, you're just self-conscious. I've heard all about the nights that you stay up beating your brains out, trying to knock out last-minute arrangements for all these people in radio and pictures. So I think it's about time we had a brief pause for a little bit of credit to Ruby Raxon's arrangements. Ruby, one of these days you'll come into your own. We'll all be there pitching for you. We hope so.
Thanks, Adeline.
In the meantime, let's listen to at least a part of Paul Barron's transcription of Begin the McGee. I'm afraid we'll have to fade out on Paul Barron's arrangement of Begin the McGee. I hope that you can come back again soon and we can go into more detail on the work that you've done and the functions of the Arranging Society, of which you're a very prominent member. Is it a promise?
Well, thank you very much for inviting me at any time at all.
All right, I'll take you up on that. In the meantime, you've been listening to On and Off the Record. This is Adeline Hanson. My guest this evening was Ruby Raxon.
This is KWIK Quick, the voice of the San Fernando Valley, Burbank.